from those verses I just read, in the presence of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, especially that first verse. Do not love the world and all the things in the world.
All right.
If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. I want to use as a subject, that's not the boo for you. That's not the boo for you. Listen. That term, boo, kind of been popularized in the early 2000s. I think it came out, really kind of blew up when the song by Usher and Alicia Keys called My Boo. It really meant the person that I love, the one I'm in a relationship with, one that excites and delights me, the one that I enjoy being around, hanging. That's your boo. In this passage that we're looking at, there are some verses above that I think we missed in our series. I'm trying to cover every verse. But he talks about little children, and he also talks about young men. And then he talks about fathers. He was covering all three levels of being a believer. The little children are the interest level. They just became Christian.
Right. Right.
And then there's the young men with their strength. And as believers, they can do so much because they are strong.
Right.
And then there are the fathers. In their, because of their wisdom and their experience, they are also encouraged by John. But John is the oldest of the apostles in all, when he wrote this letter, and all the other apostles have passed off the scene.
Uh-huh.
And John is like the father of all the fathers. And John, like sometimes parents and good friends do. Sometimes parents and good friends will see you coupling up with somebody. In a romantic partnership, and they know you, and they see something in a person that you're coupling up with, and because they know you, they may come to you, and because not only do they know you, but because they love you. They feel, even though they may get a reaction that is none of your business, but they still feel like they got at least a tip to come to you, because they see some red flags. In the relationship. relationship with you and the person you want to be your boo. And deep down, they just say, I need to tell you that that's not the boo for you. Can I get with you? John, the apostle, looks in knowing the world like he knows the world.
Right.
John, being the oldest of apostles, he looks at a believing church, a group and a body of believers, and he sees the danger of them drifting off into a love of the world. And John, in the letter that he writes to these believers, says basically, as he thinks in reference to the world, that that's not the boo. Love not the world.
Yeah.
Y'all with me so far?
Yeah.
Listen. Because when that word world, the cosmos in Greek, has three meanings. When you first, it can be used of the earth as part of God's marvelous and wonderful creation. Sometimes in the Bible, when he says world, he's talking about planet Earth. Secondly, it is used of all of the various people on Earth. It is used of people on Earth, and as it is in John 3:16, when he says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In that situation, he was talking about the population and the people of the world. But mostly it's used, the way I think John is using it here, it's used to describe the domain where Satan exhausts his influence.
Yeah.
In those that he exhausts his influence over. Listen. Satan has a purpose.
My.
Just like God had a purpose. Satan had a purpose, and in every sense, he got kicked out of heaven. Even his name means deceiver or adversary. Satan is not for you, but against you. He executes his purpose. Or in executing his purpose, his goal is to dethrone God and to enthrone himself as God of the universe. He seeks to retain all who are presently in his kingdom and prevent them from entering the kingdom of God by new birth. Satan attempts to reproduce himself and his children so that all the evil and rebellion and lawlessness that characterize him is translated to them. When he says world, it's a world system. And he uses that world system to accomplish his purpose. Y'all with me so far? Stay with me.
Yeah.
So it's the world that he is talking about. And the thing I want to tell you about this world, it's not a world that loves you.
Right.
John, in his gospel, John 15:18-19 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were the world would love is on. But because you are not of the world, because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's the word he's talking about. And he said, for us, the believers, the church, don't love the world that hates you. That makes a lot of sense.
Yes, sir.
I think the worst fool you could have is a fool that hates you. Makes it don't take a lot. It don't take a lot. Listen. But I want to tell you, we are often, as Elamai would say, we often get booed up with the word.
Amen.
We often get out there booed up.
Yeah.
Booed up with the word. Pastor, how do you get booed up? With the word. First thing I want to talk about is three ways we get booed up with the word. It's right here in the Bible. Three ways we get booed up with the word. Listen here. Verse 16 tells us, for all that is in the world, way number one, the lust of the flesh. Way number two, the lust of the eyes. Way number three, the pride of life. Those are the three ways we find ourselves booed up.
Yes, sir.
With the word.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Look here. Pastor, could you explain those three ways a little bit better? Yeah, I'm glad you asked me to explain. That's what I mean. What is the lust of the flesh? The lust of the flesh is wanting. Wait. Let me just deal with lust at first, okay?
Okay.
Let me just deal with it. Mm-hmm. Tim Keller. Tim Keller gives an excellent definition or way for us to understand lust. He said, lust is not wanting to do something bad, but wanting badly to do something. Did y'all get that? Lust is not wanting to do something that's bad, but wanting badly because sometimes the lust of the flesh, you're not really doing something bad, but you want to do it so bad that you'll do it to an extreme.
Right.
It includes things like you can overeat. Or undereat. Mm-hmm. Or drugs, alcohol, sex. All of these things are things that make you feel good.
All right.
But sometimes the problem is you replace God with things that make you feel good. Because God is supposed to be the main thing.
Right.
Rather than going to God and allow and experiencing the pleasure of being in His presence, you find pitiful substitutes for that.
Right.
Rather than going God, so you live, love, and feel good.
My.
And sometimes you want those things so badly that make you feel good.
Yeah.
And you'll be so into making yourself feel good physically. And meeting your physical needs that it takes you, you'll be physically full, but your spirit is starving. Because your whole pursuit in life is feeling good physically. But a lot of times, when you're feeling good physically, you are starving yourself spiritually. That's why we fast. We fast to reverse that thing. When you find yourself, yes, amen, always badly wanting to feel good physically, there comes to a point when you say, well, I need to get that under control. So, I'm going to take some things away that make me feel good physically so I can feast spiritually. See, what you've been doing, you've been feasting physically and starving spiritually. So you say, I'm going to turn that thing around now because I want to feast spiritually. And in order for me to feast spiritually, I got to give up some physical things. And I got to replace those things during this period with things that's going to enhance me spiritually. Bible study, worship, prayer. But these are all things I've been letting go. That's how I got in the shape that I am now. So you see, if you find yourself falling a lot because you've been taking care of every physical thing that makes you feel good. And then sometimes you can want those things so badly that you go outside the will of God to get.
That's real.
You know they're violations of Scripture. And what Scripture said, they may violate other things. But you want them so bad. I said that's what flesh is. That's what lust is. Lust is something bad.
Amen.
You want it so bad, it almost comes. It then became a God. It's not bad. I want it bad every day. Us. That's the lust of the flesh. Well, what about that next one, Pastor? The lust of the eye. The lust of the eye is it's not wanting to feel good, it's wanting more.
It's
wanting. You badly want more. You're not content with what God has blessed you with. God will bless you with that brand. You know, a couple years ago, He blessed you, and you got that brand new 2017 sitting in the driveway.
Come on now.
But then your neighbor came home in that 2019. And you looked over there.
Come on now. Don't look.
And you saw it.
Right.
You got to figure out now how I can trade that
2017. Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had a witness. You suddenly became dissatisfied with the 2017. Still run good, still unwarranted, still clean and shining. Amen. We're looking at the time on, but because your neighbor got a 19, you want a 19. You like me. Some of you like me, I be living in an HGTV. Yeah, when they be trying to buy them houses, you know, they go and show the house, show three houses, and you choose, and I'm living in that house. I'm already blessed. I got a good house already. I'm trying to get the one I got already paid off. But they be showing you all the nice houses with the big giant island. Amen. You know, in the room. you see everything from the kitchen.
Yeah.
And it's so pretty and you and Marlon.
Yeah, walk in, shower. I'm with
you. I feel like God has cheated me. So rather than taking it and praising it and saying, my hallelujah belongs to you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure, I wonder if I can,
yeah.
I wonder if we can just knock that. I wonder how much it costs. We can just knock that down. Then get another kind of an hour. We already got an hour, but it ain't big like the one I see on TV.
Yeah, we're thinking. I got it. Yeah.
You know, in the stainless steel,
right.
Who
are
this?
Yes.
The lust of the eye.
Yes.
That's real.
Lust of the eye. It'll make you not be thankful.
That's real.
God can bless you, and some folks don't even have a house at all.
Right.
And you got a roof over
right.
your head.
Yes,
you got more bedrooms than you got people to sleep in.
Yes.
You got everything you need.
Right.
The lust that I said, Lord, I want more.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
That's
real. Want more. I was looking at, give you one more example. I was looking at on my phone. Somehow I came across a Lexus LS600HL. In the back seat, you can let the feet up in the back seat. And it got a DVD player. I'm saying, oh, that's honey. They sure look good. And you just said, man. What? And you start thinking, I wonder what could I do? Let's see.
Yeah.
How could I? You know you can't work that in your blood. Woo! Y'all want to see? So y'all understand?
That's real.
But that's what commercials
that's what they do.
Are designed to do to make you dissatisfied with what you got.
Right.
Oh yeah. They're designed you never get out the hole to stay in there. Not to be content, I'm thankful to God. You get by being thankful, and you get greedy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You've spent all your tithes already.
Right.
I'm leaving that alone. Amen. Because he said,
That's real.
And then sometimes you can just be envious of how another person looks.
Yeah, just that. I'm gonna be happy with my feet.
Which I look like? Would they have a six pack like that? I ain't never said that. I always thought Kevin was better than a six pack. More enjoyable. Yeah. If you get somebody that's a drinker, you offer a seat back or can, what are they gonna take? Talk to them. Oh, what the hell? Y'all don't want to help. But I'm saying that's the lust. So the lust of the eyes says, I want
more.
And this. Sometimes you see people that God has blessed to do well. It's no sin to do well.
Right.
It's no sin to have a nice house, the big islands, and open concept, and all those things, and swimming pools, and all that land. It's not a sin to have that.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with having that. The problem comes in when that has you.
Right.
God has blessed you with millions, DNA, and you doing all the things God wants you to do and He leads you to do. Then y'all be thankful.
Yeah. Amen. Perspective.
Amen.
But when it has you.
Yeah.
All right to have money, but when money has you.
Yeah.
It's all right to have material things, but when material things have you,
yeah.
That's enough, son. But I, pride of life. Pride of life. Now say, one, you want to feel good. One, you want more stuff. Or just more. Might be things or more something. The pride of life, you want something to boast about.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to boast about what you've done or what you got.
Okay.
Sometimes parents will push their children in ways that their children don't want to go.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was ahead of y'all.
Amen.
But they will push their children into careers.
Amen.
And things that they want to do, they don't want to go because they want their child to do something that they can boast about.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Maybe that child is artistic or has academic gifts, but because you was on the football, you led it in football, and you were a great running back. Amen. You remember how poppy. Now you want your son. Y'all with me? Y'all with me?
Amen.
And no more. See, so what happened is you're trying to live vicariously through your child.
Yeah.
So when somebody say, how good your child is in? Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. They get up, y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no problem with saying that, but when you saying that and it's all about you,
right?
But what about if you said, I'm not going to do this no more?
Yeah, that's real.
Amen. And you get upset about it because you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or because you have a child that struggles in a subject.
Come on.
And you want to be able to say, my child is an A student. But every child can't be an A student.
Amen. Amen.
But you got friction in the family.
Yes. Because?
Because you want him to be an A student so you can put one of the stickers. Oh.
That's real.
Put one of the stickers on the back of the car. So they feel unloved and unappreciated because they don't work hard to make it C+.
Yeah.
You don't realize how hard I work, mama. You don't know how hard I work to make that C+.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying don't encourage them and give them all the help they can, all the encouragement to try to push them a little bit. But sometimes you see, that's not a good subject for you.
Right.
That's about the best they can do. When they say the best they can do, give them tools, but leave it alone.
Right.
I'm thankful you made that. God didn't gift you in that area, but you got some other gifts.
Right.
But you know, we want something we can boast about. That's why we want that 2019. Because we can put it up on the line. And you want everybody to say, oh, that's nice.
It's all right.
And you know you have. You know you about to jump out of the
shoe.
See, y'all don't want to be real. Y'all don't want to be real.
Right.
Let me don't finish this thing. Oh, my God.
I hear you, brother.
Listen. Pride. Let me just read this. I'm going to read this verbatim because it's good. By Carol Land out of a book. Finally, John talks about pride of life, which can include attitudes such as, look at me. I have all these wonderful possessions. Or look at me and admire how much I accomplished. Or look at me. I sold all my belongings and I'm moving to Africa to feed the poor. Again, it's not what we do or have, it's about our heart. Pride can pop up in some of the most godly and good behavior. Why? When people are going, oh, they're doing good. But you're just doing something to be boasting. Check your heart. Are you doing whatever you are doing out of a sincere love for God and care for others? Or are you doing it to make yourself look good and impress people? Granted, I'm sure that we will never, ever have 100% pure motives. But we can always, in human, turn our eyes toward God and say, help me, and create in me a clean heart. And sometimes, you say, this comes to salvation. And we'll say to ourselves when it comes to salvation, because I'm so great, God needs me.
Yes, sir.
That's dangerous.
Oh. I'm so great, God needs me. And you know, if I don't come to church and say, well, I ain't going to. If I'm not there, church ain't going to go on. But you, I'm going to tell you, if you think you're valuable, go out, go get you a bucket full of water. And put your hand down in that water. And take it out. And it's the same water. With or without you. The church was here before you got here. And unless we're raptured, the church will be here when you go. God enjoys having you, but don't think he has to have you.
Listen.
And then we say, the worst part of pride is when you think you can save yourself. See, when you're saved by grace through faith, you ain't got nothing to boast about because Jesus did it all.
Right.
But a whole lot of people have a problem with that because we want to be saved by our own effort.
Yeah.
I'm saved because I can't tell a lie. I'm saved because I'm better than some of the other people in the church. I'm saved because I wear long skirts. I'm saved because I don't wear lipstick. I'm saved because it's something I've done. Rather than saying, I'm saved because what Jesus done.
Yeah.
On the cross. You want to be able to get to heaven in both. You think heaven is like an award show.
Yeah.
Well, when you get there, God going to call you up on the stage. Who was the most faithful? We got our next award coming up for the most faithful church member.
Yeah.
And you want them to open up the envelope. Let's see who wrote the envelope is. The most faithful church member.
Wow.
Come on. Willie Roy said it. And we were, wait a minute. Does that include me? Does that include? Y'all see what I'm saying? That's what we want. That's what we want God to do. But that's not how heaven is. It ain't gonna be nobody. Amen. Like that. He wouldn't want you to do something. He had the right motive. Now, it will be the Lord getting to heaven. But it says, when you get that crown, I like the part that when you get that crown, whatever you're rewarded for, all we're going to do with those crowns is go give it to the person who really needs the reward. We're going to throw them at the feet of Jesus. Said, everything I was, everything I am, is because you made me who I am. So here, it all belongs to you. Every hallelujah, every thank you, it all belongs to you. Oh, Lord. Okay, I'm trying to look at this time. Yeah, no, Jesus told me not to preach too long. All right, here we go. So those are the ways we get booed up with the world. But I want to tell you three more ways you can break up with the world. Three reasons why you should break up with the world. If you boot up with them, time to break up with them. Let's see. Number one, the world is the malevolent distraction from the main attraction. It's a malevolent means an evil intention, evil thinking, evil. So the world is an evil that wants to distract from the main attraction. Because you know, the main attraction is the creator of the universe. I think the Westminster Catechism, when they catechize, catechism means you ask a question. And the way people learn doctrine, the way people learn doctrine, they ask a question. And then you answer the question. That way you learn the doctrine of that a body of believers. So the Westminster Catechism said, what's the whole duty of man? And then the answer comes love God and enjoy Him well. That's the chief duty of man. That's the main attraction, to love God and enjoy Him forever. That's what it's all about, spending time in intimate, joyful fellowship with God, and as you experience that fellowship, you take from there and then you express to others. You go into God, you see how beautiful God is. You got to really see how beautiful God is. You got to do it the way Dad said. You got to know him. See, some of us, we just know him once, we know him. But now Dad said you don't have to know him. You got to know him. That means you got to repeat with when the Bible repeats things three times. That means you got to really know him. And in order to really know him, you got to spend some time and experience his presence.
Right.
You see, the enemy don't want you to get to know him.
That's right.
Because the enemy know once you get to know him, you get in there, you get looking at God. Oh, God is so beautiful. So many beautiful things about him. He's so faithful and kind. And you just start knowing things about God. And I was thinking about God this week.
Come on.
I was thinking about God. I'm reading the scripture. And I'm reading the story that we always know about the prodigal son. I don't think about that. Because, you know, God, the father in there represents God. And you remember he had messed up bad?
Yeah.
And he came home. He said, well, I don't even want to be a family. He probably ain't going to let me back in the family. Because I spent everything. Acting a fool. I'm just going to go home because I think I just want to give me a job.
Yeah.
And he was coming up in the farm.
Yes,
sir. So income.
Yeah.
And rain. You know, back then, you know, you weren't supposed to rain. And he rained. And the boss got about ready to say his speech. And then was, no. And put a robe on him.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what kind of God are you?
Yes, sir.
And put a ring on him and sandals on his feet.
Yeah.
Said, oh, you can't work with me. You can't be a slave because you're a son. And you know, I thought about when you down, when you blown it, when you're disappointed in yourself and feel like God has disappointed you. I'm glad I got a God. He ready for me to come.
Yeah.
He running out there with the robe and the slippers.
Yeah.
He ready to throw a party.
Yeah.
And I'm back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fire.
Hey, Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah up in this house. So I said, hey, that's so great about God. I don't want to be like that. When people I love mess up, I don't want to stomp and hold them down.
Yeah.
I don't want to celebrate them in their restoration.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's go.
Jesus.
He wanted to see how great he is. And I'll be looking at the facts of him. And I said, when you see how beautiful he is, oh, I wish I was like that.
said, I want to be like this. And then the Holy Spirit helps you become more and more.
Yeah.
And Satan don't want that. So he has a distraction. Don't worry about that. You want more? Get more. Mm-hmm. You want to feel good?
My Lord.
I can help you feel good.
Yeah.
You want something to boast about?
I can give you something to boast about.
And we're so busy feeling good and wanting more and getting something to boast about, we never get to experience knowing. I want to know you. I can see things so beautiful about you that I want to be like.
Some of you that were back in the club days have heard it, but it's a song by William Bell, and he says back in the day when I was working in my grandfather's motel, we had a jukebox, and when he played the jukebox late at night, people could hear it in all the room, but they had a song on that jukebox called "Love It Too Ain't Easy to Do." Y'all don't know nothing about no jukebox. Loving two ain't easy to do.
Okay.
Woo! And they be playing it all night. Cause you play it for the room, we're here in the open. Loving two ain't easy to do. But I want to tell you, amen, that wasn't a new thing because the Bible said that too. The Bible already had told us that. That wasn't new information. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters.
Yes, sir.
Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't love. Listen to this. Suppose your wife meets somebody at the office. Now, y'all see married and everything. You know, he's a nice looking gentleman. Got good conversation. Smell good cologne, dress good. Shoes shine. Carpet is decked. And then she's good with you. Now, I don't, we still married, still loving, but would it be okay with you? I'm going to be right back home. Why are you in this game tonight? Is this guy at the office? Because I don't want to serve you in this game. Is this guy at the office?
I'm kind of interested in him. I just want to know if we can like just go out for dinner, where I can get to know him better.
Yeah.
But I'm coming back home. I just want to go back and get to know him because he seems to be interesting, and I just want to get to know him better. But I'm coming back home after dinner.
Go ahead,
guys. What are we gonna do? Most time, if y'all know, we ain't gonna be satisfied with that. I don't know. We say, hey, you go, you can say. See, I didn't ask women, but women were extreme. I wouldn't even be there to get it out. Oh, no. Don't change a lot. All that kind of stuff. Y'all see what I'm saying? So you can, that's not something you can do. Listen. James says, if you do that, you adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a boo of the world is the enemy of God. It's in my boo version. So you can't have both. You got to choose one or the other. Oh, Lord. Wait a minute. I got a couple more points, Gene. Hold on. Listen here. Secondly, the reason why you got to break up with the world is if you knew what the world was up to. He would be a scary boo rather than a loving boo. Mm-hmm. Can y'all get that? Mm-hmm. Scary boo. Is there two kinds of boo? Is that boo when somebody, you know, share somebody?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I get it now.
If you knew what the world was up to, you realize he's not a loving boo, but a scary boo.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why John said, love not the world, because John realizes what the world is up to.
Right.
Sometimes your parents, amen, or your friends know that that's the wrong boo for you because it takes one. Oh, I wish I had a witness up in here. Amen. It takes a better no place.
Yeah.
So now that's not the one for you.
That's real.
Because he reminds me of me.
Yeah.
Woo! You can't see the red flag. But they can see the red flag.
Right.
Let me give you one more example. Because I'm sure this with y'all before. But think about it. Sometimes, a good example of this is Samson and Delilah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Because you remember, the enemy of Israel, the Philistine, wanted to bring Israel down, and Samson was their champion.
Yes, right.
Samson was a strong man. Amen. And they couldn't handle Samson. Because God was with him.
Yeah.
But they found out what was Samson's
weakness.
Kryptonite.
Yeah.
And they sent Delilah.
Yeah.
Because Delilah was Samson's kryptonite.
Yeah.
Now, Samson, when he looked at Delilah, thought he had a loving boo.
Yes, sir.
He thought it was a loving move, but if he would have saw what Delilah was up to, he would have known she was a scary movie.
Yeah.
Because once she finished with him, he had lost his strength.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah. Once she finished with him, she realized she wasn't booed up. He wasn't booed up, but he was messed up.
Yes, sir.
And bound up.
Yes, sir.
And shit up.
Yeah.
Amen. And shut up.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness in here?
Yeah.
Because she was, shouldn't have been his loving boo. She should have been his scary boo.
Yeah.
She should have been so scary when she said boo, he should have ran. What I'm trying to tell you, Satan uses the world the same way that the Philistines used the lie.
Right. Right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
To bring you down.
Yes, sir.
To entrap you. To take everything that's good in you.
Lord have mercy.
Think of what Jesus said to Peter. Satan had desired to have you.
Yeah.
That he might sift you.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you realize what he's up to, he is not a loving boo, but a scary boo.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
He's not the boo for you.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No good.
Oh, I hope you can see it. I hope you can see it. Because I know most of the time when we read that story of Samson, most of us realize, boy, I wish I could just walk into the pages. Why are you still? You done had three chances. Every time. Why are you still here? She is not the boo for you.
That's
what
it's
I got to close. I got to, really got to close. Lastly, the third reason is because the world is an Enron and not an Exxon. Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? You always talk about this crazy stuff. You know Enron.
Oh, Enron. Yeah.
Enron.
Yeah.
The world is
good.
Enron.
That's good.
Not Exxon.
Yeah.
Enron stock was $95 plus.
Right.
In 2000. Mm-hmm. Folk were buying Enron stock. But in 2001, Enron stock went from $95 a share to $1 a share. And folk lost their life savings because Enron didn't last.
Right.
It was a bad investment.
Right.
Oh, y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Exxon today is worth over $300 billion. It was, now Enron came in 1985 and was gone in 2001.
Yeah.
Exxon came in 1849, and it's still pumping off.
Yeah.
Because it lasts. When that last verse in there, you got to worry about, are you making a good investment of your life?
Yeah, that's good.
Are you putting your life in things that's going to last?
Yeah.
Hey.
What is the worth of man to gain the whole world? Oh, I wish I had a witness up in here. And lose his soul.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
My Lord.
Now, Elamai, in her song, Booed Up, says, I'll never get over you until I find something new that can make me high like you. Woo! What? Do you want to be in a relationship with somebody that I never get over you until I find something new that make me feel high just like Because you, amen, because it was Egypt, he was booed up. Enron, when they saw it going bad, it should have been a breakup. That's why I'm trying to tell somebody here, if you see it booed up with the world, I'm trying to tell you, you need to break up and say, you need to make your mind, I'm breaking up with that world. I'm not going to let the world take me down. I'm cutting ties today while I still got time left to do something for the Lord and to be on the Lord's side and to serve the Lord. I'm tired of serving the devil. I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to serve the Lord today.
Thank you.
God, once you serve the Lord, you can find joy in His presence. In His presence forevermore.
Yes.
Song says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we'll have no less days to sing God praise than when we first. If you booed up with the world, it's about time you break up.
Yes, sir.
Because the world can't do you no good.
Yes,
the world is your enemy.
Yes.
Now that I close, I remember a few years ago when we were fellowshipping with Union Memorial. You remember back when Sister Daisy was alive. Yes. And I remember we were over there one Sunday evening. I forget the situation, but I remember being over there. And I remember Sister Daisy on the piano. And she struck up a tune. And I heard her saying, falling in love with Jesus. Can I get a witness in here? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing. Come on now. What the best thing I ever done. Why was it, Sister Daisy? Why was it the best thing you ever done? Because in and on, I find protection. Can I get a witness in here? In His arms, there's never feel connected. There's no place. Can I get a witness? I'd rather be. Is there anybody here this morning that knows that falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I ever did? Can you say falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I ever done? I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But the world can't move my mood. Because I'm in love with Jesus. And He's in love with me. Can I get a witness in here somewhere? I can't really call Him a boo. I can't really call the God of the universe my boo. I can't really call the Creator my boo. Because boo don't make demons leave. Boo don't make cancer bow down. I got to call Him by His name. Because it's something about the name Jesus. That's the name Jesus. There's power. Wonder working power. In the name Jesus. Demon flee. And sickness have to bow down. I got to call Him Jesus. I can't call Him boo. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. I can't call Him boo. Because He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I can't call Him boo. Because He's Jehovah Nisi, my victory. I can't call Him boo. Because He's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I can't call Him boo. Because He's Jehovah Shalom, my Prince of Peace. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I love you, Jesus. I love you more than anything.
My God,
Jesus.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
I love you more than this.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
I love you more than the stuff.
Oh, God.
Yes, sir.
to sin no more. I love you more than the boasting thing.
Yeah.
I love you, Jesus, more than anything.
Yeah.
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 And just like Sister Daisy said, falling with Jesus was the best thing.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord.
The world is not the
booth.
My kingdom come.
Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord. Bless
you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Bless you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, Jesus.
You're the best thing.
Best thing.
Hallelujah. You're the best thing that ever happened.
Go ahead.
Yeah.